Non ti chiede la
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, is coming? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
Bye.
ಸುವಂದೇಸ್ ಅವಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಮತ್ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶೈಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿಕೆ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ನಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಗೆ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋಪಿನಾಶ್ಯಾಮ ಪುಟ್ಟರಾಧಾಕೊಂಡೆ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧನಕ್ಕೆ ಇದು ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕ್ಕೆ ಮಧುರಾಧಾಮಕ್ಕೆ ವಾರ್ತಾಪುರ ಧಾಮಕ್ಕೆ ಪುರುಷೋತ್ತಮ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಪುರ ಧಾಮಕ್ಕೆ ಶ್ರೀ ಮಹಾಪುರ್ಣಿ ಧಾಮಕ್ಕೆ ರಂಗಮಯಕ್ಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿ ತೊಳೆದೇವಿಗೆ ಸಾಮೂಹಿಕ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ನಂತರ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂಕೆ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ಪ್ರಚೋದಯಮುದೀರಯೆ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಭದ್ರೇಷು ಯುಕ್ತಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತ್ಯುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯೂತಲೆ
ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ವಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಪದಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋ ಮಹೇಶ್ವರಂ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗರ ಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾಧಿತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಥಜಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣದಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ ನಮೋ ವಿಶ್ವಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪೃಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮೀ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತೆ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯದೇಶದಾಯಿನೇ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾಧನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯಿನೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮಿನೇ ವರದಕ್ಷಿಣೆ ನಮಃ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಾವಧೂ ಜಗತ್ಪತೇ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೈಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್
Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.34. This is the 17th chapter of the teaching of Queen Kunti book, Lightening the Burden of the World.
Bharavataranayanye
Bhuvonavayivodadhau
Sidantya Bhuri Bharena
Jato
Shyatma
Bhuvartitah.
Others say that the world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. Prabhupada is talking about Brahma in the beginning. Brahma is directly the son of Supreme God, Supreme Father, and was not put into the womb of a mother. Therefore, he is known as Atma Bhu. Brahma is in charge of the further creations of the universe, secondarily reflected by the potency of the Omnipotent. Within the halo of the universe, there is a transcendental planet known as Shweta Dvi, which is the abode of Shirodakshaya Vishnu, the Paramatma future of the Supreme Lord. Whenever there is a trouble in the universe that cannot be solved by the administrative demigods, they approach Brahma for a solution, and if it is not to be solved even by Brahmaji, then Brahmaji consults with and prays to the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu for an incarnation and solution to the problems. Such a problem arose when Kamsa and others are ruling over the earth, and the earth became too much overburdened by the misdeeds of the asuras. Brahmaji, along with other demigods, prayed at the shore of the Kshirodaka ocean, and they were advised of the descent of Krishna as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. So some people say that the Lord appeared because of the prayers of Brahmaji. So Kunti is describing different statements of different persons about why Krishna appears. Some say that he appeared at the request of Vasudeva and Devaki, and some say he appeared at the request of Brahma. Some say that he appeared just to reduce the burden of the world, which was overburdened like a boat at sea. When the world is overburdened, there must be war, pestilence, famine, epidemics, and so on. This is nature's law. So, in the prayers of Queen Kunti, she is giving various reasons why Krishna appears in this world. Sometimes, just like you hit in one stone three or four more mangoes, similarly the Lord also in this world, when he appears, he does many things in one stroke. So, Kunti is speculating about why the Lord has come in this world. But the devotee speculation is so wonderful that as a devotee speculates more and more about the Lord, all different multifaceted sweetness of the Lord manifests. That is why a devotee is also called as a speculator or a muni. Like you see, Narada Muni, you say, isn't it? Angira Muni. But there is another type of muni, which is Jnani. That muni is not appreciated, because his speculation goes tangentially off track somewhere else. Like in a Prabhupada says, in the Western world of philosophers, some philosopher says, one Nietzsche, he said, God is dead. Similarly, there are other people who say God created the world, but he doesn't seem to be around anymore. No. Probably he has retired now. It's a serious philosophy, guys. Just like, we all do a job for some time and we retire. Probably God also must be retired. He must be tired of creating such a big world. Like that they speculate. So, in the Western world, the more they speculate about God, the more it takes people away from God. This is the type of jnani type people whose speculation is good for nothing. Whereas, when a devotee like Kunti, pure devotees or Mahajanas, they are thinking about God and why Krishna appeared in this world. And every statement Kunti is making, it immediately helps all the devotees around the world, everywhere, relish Krishna's so many pastimes. Like here, three reasons we have seen till now. Yesterday we were discussing this. Vasudeva and Devaki, apare vasudevasya devakyam yachitobhyaga, ajastvam asya kshemaya, vadaya chasuratisham. She said, Vasudeva and Devaki prayed to you to become darsan and you became darsan. I think that's the reason you appear. And then she is saying, Vadaya chasuratisham, maybe you have appeared to kill the demons. And then now today she is telling, the earth has become overburdened like a boat in the sea, due to which I think you have appeared. Because when earth is overburdened and all the demigods, they go to pray to Brahma and then Brahma in turn goes to Vishnu. So in this way, when Kunti Maharani is giving reasons, it helps us to remember Krishna's wonderful pastimes more and more. That is why Prabhupada distinguishes between philosophical speculation and mental speculation in his purports. He says, mental speculation means imagining something with the mind and stretching the mind, which is good for nothing. That's what in the field of science we do. Like I remember, we used to see this structure of different metals, you know. Like you upgrade a metal like this, you know, and then keep it under a microscope. And you're supposed to see what is the structure. So when we would be conducting such kind of experiments, sometimes you have a previous idea of what you are looking for. Sometimes you are looking for something, it'll appear as if you are getting it. Is it not true? When you are doing a laboratory. Sometimes you know you have to get some chart which is exhibiting a parabolic behavior. Or sometimes you have to get a linear behavior. Sometimes when you want a linear behavior, it's showing parabolic behavior. Then what do? You rub the middle point and then connect first and last one. Easy thing. Isn't that right? This is called speculation, isn't it? Many students do that. So they think maybe the middle experiment was slightly wrong, so just connect it. And 2-point connecting any child can do also. So modern day speculation is like that in all the field. You already what you should be looking for is already decided in advance only. And then people speculate. So, and mental speculation leads to confusion, bewilderment, disorientation, and ultimately ending up in atheism and nothingness, you see. That is the result of mental speculation. And mental speculation leads to hyperactivity of the mind also. And it will end up in no solution. And the person who is speculating will be dissatisfied at the end. That's what Prabhupada said once in a conversation with somebody. Yes, why do you condemn the atheistic people to be in, you know, a scientist to be in ignorance or something? Prabhupada said, even they were actually claiming our today's knowledge of truth is truer than yesterday. Prabhupada said, can you find us this as the truth? They said, no. Tomorrow we may come up with something new. And Prabhupada said, that means you are always in ignorance, he said. That is the result of speculation. It always keeps us submerged in ignorance, leaving us to speculate more and more. Whereas, exactly opposite to that type of mental speculation is the devotee. When a devotee thinks about the Lord, the devotee is empowered by the Lord from inside the heart. That is why any prayer that comes out of a pure devotee's mouth is called Uttama Shloka. See, Uttama means Tama is darkness. Uttama is beyond darkness. Uttama Shloka means that Supreme Lord who is situated beyond darkness of the material world and who is glorified by choice poetry. That's the meaning. So, when Dhruva is offering prayers, Prahlad is offering prayers, Ambarish Maharaj is offering prayers, or Narada, or anybody in Bhagavatam you find, do you know how these prayers come out of devotee's mouth? Or Kunti is offering prayers. These prayers are brought out by the Lord from the mouth of a devotee. Just like, for example, if you have a veena, you all have heard veena, how sweet it is. So somebody plays very nice, sweet notes of veena or harmonium or whatever. So that instrument has very beautiful string, of course, but it cannot produce sound on its own. Somebody has to produce it. Similarly, Lord is the one who uses the tongue, which is like a stringed instrument of a devotee. And Lord makes a devotee speak the prayers. Like Kunti is praying here. She is giving various reasons, maybe this, maybe that. But actually she is, by speaking all these things, she is making the whole world remember Krishna by these wonderful prayers. And then Prabhupada can take these verses and give elaborate purports. You see? So devotee is actually expand the glories of the Lord. And the devotee is, when it comes to Lord, glorifying Lord, devotees become very talkative. They cannot keep quiet. Although the devotee is said to be like a waterfall sometimes, when it becomes dried up, it doesn't make any sound, there is no water coming sometimes. Other times you find there is a thudding waterfall coming down. In rainy season you find like that. Similarly, a devotee sometimes in a company of atheists, a devotee may completely keep mum, as if dumb. He may not speak a word. But sometimes in an assembly of devotees or in an appropriate place, a devotee may start glorifying the Lord, expanding the Lord's glories. In Bhagavad Gita you find Krishna is speaking about himself, but when speaking about himself, he cannot glorify himself too much. It's not possible. He is telling Arjuna, Arjuna, you are my devotee, so in front of you I am not shy. I am speaking my glories to you because you will not become envious of me when I tell about myself. No? So I am telling you, he says, you are Anasuya, so I am telling you. But still Lord cannot glorify himself too much. Because Lord has a tendency to glorify his devotees. He doesn't tell much about himself. So in between Bhagavad Gita you will find he is saying, Tam Yeva Sharanam Gacha. He's saying, Tam Yeva Sharanam, which means, so you please better surrender to him, he says. And you wonder, who is this him? Just prior to that verse, he is talking about Super Soul. And he is telling, surrender to Super Soul. Now if somebody says, surrender to Super Soul, who is Super Soul then? He is expansion of Krishna only, no? Then why should Krishna say, surrender to him? Sometimes you find a father is sitting with a son and say, Devo, beta, pita ka baat maanna chahiye. Everybody says, see, you should obey your father. Now you may ask, who is father? His father or somebody else's father? Father is sitting there only. But sometimes father says in different ways to make the son understand. Like the Krishna is also telling. He just tells about his glories and he is trying to make Arjuna surrender. So, in Bhagavad Gita he says, I created this world, I have created all the facilities for the living entities, like that he says and leaves. But when devotees talk about Krishna, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, where they can tell the complete glories of Krishna, like Kunti Maharani is now expanding, elaborating on what the Lord is doing in this world. He loves his devotees so much, he comes in their home like a baby, in their family. And when Brahma goes and prays, then the Lord changes incarnations to destroy the demons, to protect the devotees. And sometimes he comes to give pleasure to the devotees. He tells so many things. Just like for example, if somebody asks you, where did you study? You may just tell the college name, I studied in IIT or something like that, you may say. And then somebody may ask you, then what else you did? Yeah, after that I further study. Further what you study? I did my MS. MS where did you do? I did in Cornell. Cornell you did in MS? My Lord, really? And then you read anything further? Yeah, I did my PhD. Where did your PhD? Master's, actually. So a person, to release the glories of a person from his mouth may be difficult. Huh? A person may feel a little shy. You go to his mother and ask her father. So your son, what is the qualification of your son? They will make you sit and give a very big katha. Huh? Come on, I'll tell you, my son, you know, he did his semester in Cornell and, you know, PhD in Massachusetts. Not only that, he did a postdoc. He went to London for that. And then she may say, you know, and he published a paper in Germany. You know, he did some project work which got a national award. And I came to know that the president is preparing a special award for him to give. He was college, he was always a topper. Not only that, he's a good singer. Not only that, he's a very good sportsman. He came first in the athletic race. At home, you see, he is so artistic, he has done this. Sometimes a person has multiple talents, you see. So, mother will go on and on. She will be so much glorifying, even if the other person has gone away, still she will be going on. So, and she will not miss out any glory. You have seen that? Similarly, devotees, when they open their mouth and talk about Krishna, that glorification is elaborate like Kunti Maharaj's prayers. And Prabhupada is even further elaborating it. Expanding on the glory in order to help us understand better. What Kunti is saying, then another devotee like Prabhupada, he is expanding. See, this is how the Machita Margata Prana also happens. As Krishna says, Bodhayanta Parasparam, Katayanta Samam Nityam, Tushyanti Cha. He says, when devotees come together, how should we read Prabhupada's books? That was the same procedure. Like when you read many quotes from other references, as the glories of the Lord become more and more manifest in the heart of a devotee, as soon as you read one verse, immediately so many things will come in the mind and the heart. So, and that glorification of the Lord is made available to us by the Lord Himself, because He is seated in our heart as Super Soul. So, that is philosophical speculation, Prabhupada explains. Narada Muni, for example, can go and meet so many different types of people, and he uses different techniques to preach to different people. Like for Mrugari, he showed a display of the dangerous results that are awaiting him in future. Immediately that fellow broke the vow and surrendered on Narada Muni's feet and became a devotee. For Prachina Parishad, he told an allegorical story. Because that fellow was fond of hearing novels and stories. So he told him a story. And then he told him, the hero of the story, he told him, you are. You are the fellow, Paranja. So, you will find Narada Muni uses different techniques to different people. But the end of Narada Muni's preaching is glorification of Lord. So here, Kunti is talking about all demigods going to Brahmaji and praying about the atrocities of the demon Kamsa. And in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about the divine and demoniac nature elaborately. So it's a very important chapter for growing devotees. Because within our heart also we have demons and demoniac and divine tendency in our heart also. You see, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a churning of the milk ocean by demigods and demons. That whole pastime is explained by acharyas as something that is going on within our own heart also. There is a great meaning. You will find that when the Supreme Lord wanted the demigods to churn and get the amrita, He called all of them and He instructed them that you go to the demons and make a truce, and you both can jointly do this work because you are now very weak. The time is not in your favor. The time is in demon's favor. So right now you can't do much. You have lost your kingdom and you are all suffering. And the Lord said, you go to them and beg them for cooperation and do this churning of milk ocean, getting amrit. Now imagine if somebody tells you to go to your enemy and request cooperation. How many of you will go? Will anybody want to go? But demigods were ready because they were obedient to Lord Vishnu. And as soon as the demigods headed by Indra went, the Bali was sitting, and along with Bali all other demons, they took the weapons and came to attack. And Bali had to keep them under control. Bali was surrounded by his ministers and everybody. He goes, wait a minute, let us see what they want to say, let us hear from there. And they were all just still waiting with weapons to attack. Then demigod went and said, you know, we are desiring a joint venture in a collaborative program with you. Can you please come for churning the milk ocean? And then we both will get amrit. And now the demons, led by Bali, they thought it's a very wonderful idea. Why? We are mighty and they are weakling. So when the amrit comes, we will take the amrit and enjoy, and we will drive them away. See, sometimes it happens that a man is very diplomatic. And he has a lot of ideas for expanding business, but he doesn't have money. And there is another fellow who has lots of money, but who is a timid fellow, and somehow or other he got money in his life. Maybe his father must have left behind big money. And this fellow says, let's become partners, come. So they become partner, and that fellow, what he does, he loots his entire money. Like the story of that cat, you know, two cats, and they went to a monkey, isn't it? They said, monkey said, I will divide the bread and give you, isn't it? Finally, what the monkey did? Actually, monkey purposefully will take a bigger side, one side, and then smaller one on the other side. Then it will, taraji will go like this, then he will, you know, he will say, that little bit I will eat now, so it will become balanced. In this way, little, he finished the whole bread, isn't it? Similarly, sometimes people do. If there are three partners, two of them are fools, and one fellow loots all the money and goes away. Similarly, the demons thought, we are having power now, the political power is with us. So we will use the demigods, get the amrit, and drive them away. Just like sometimes a snake is in a basket, caught in a basket, it's unable to come out. It wants to make a hole, but snake can't make a hole. But there is also a rat who got caught in that. So the snake becomes a servant of the rat. Begs, my dear sir, can you please help me? You know, please make a hole. And I will go away and you will be here peacefully. And the rat thinks, oh, it's a very nice idea. And then the rat makes a hole. And what the snake does? It eats the rat and then goes out. In this way, he could escape also and enjoy the rat also. So that was the plan of the demons. They were very cunning. They had a very cunning disposition. Of course, the demigods also would like to have amrit. They thought that, you know, we cannot get amrit alone. But demons help, if we get it, it's good. And Lord Vishnu has told us. So then you have the ISI rubber stamp. If Lord has told that you go and, you know, participate with the demons and you get the amrit, it's very nice. So they were willing also. At the same time, the demigods didn't have any plan that we will cheat the demons, take the amrit and run away, because they had no power to do that also. At this moment, they were weak. They were not in political power. Demons were in power. Demons were the ruling party. Demigods were, you know, not having any opulence power at that time. But they obeyed Vishnu's words. And then Vishnu called them. See, this idea of snake and rat, mouse, I told you, this example was given by Lord Vishnu to demigods, that you can be like the snake and the demons can be like the rat. Use the demons to get amrit, and then I will give you amrit and the demons will be bereft of everything. Like this, this idea was given by Vishnu for the demigods, and demigods had no plan like this. On the other hand, demons had already made up their mind. They didn't even think about the factor of Vishnu. He was not in their equation. They thought that these demons are weaklings. We will just get the amrit and drive them away. That was their plan. So, then Lord Vishnu called the demigods and said, I am going to give you some important upadesh. Listen attentively. And he told them. Now, why did the Lord not call the demons? There was no point calling the demons. for a meeting. Because the nature of demons was, whatever you say, we are against it. That is the meaning of demon. Whatever Vishnu says, we are against it. We don't have to even know what you are going to say. We have no trust in you. We are against it. Because, you know, we will make you an offender for a word. You know what's offender for a word? You said like this. See, you did like this. So many people say like this, you have seen that? Especially when trust level is very low, people will behave like this. They will suspect you for everything you say. Even if you write a greeting card and give her a birthday, okay, so what is behind this? Tell me. What do you want now? Tell me. They will be like that. So this kind of relationship demons had with Vishnu. So Vishnu could not call them and talk to them because this is the definition of an asura. Asura means what? Asurastar viparyayaha, he says. And demigods means Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Daiva. Demons means asurastar viparyayaha. So then Lord Vishnu called the demigods and said, see my dear demigods, you both are going to churn the milk ocean. Many, many difficulties will come. In the course of that. But don't get tired. Don't give up the endeavor, he said. And as you proceed, many, many gifts will come. But you should not become allured by them. You should not take any of the gifts. Don't even touch them, the Lord said. And opposite party, demons may touch them, take them, but you don't compete with them. You don't take it. And the deep nimvaj agreed. Lord said, in the meantime, halahal will come. But don't get frightened. Because it will be taken away by Lord Shiva, he will drink it. You have nothing to fear. You will not lose your lives. And then you continue churning. And at last, the amrit will come. And I will make sure that you will get amrit, but you don't have to bother about it. And you have to be very patient all through these things. Don't become swayed by karma, clothes or lobes. The Lord ordered that. See, one of the nature of demigods is they are very obedient to Lord Vishnu. And then any difficulty, they cannot think of anybody but Lord Vishnu. They will always go to Him. That's one good nature of demigods. In one sense, demigods are also sense gratifiers. Demons are also sense gratifiers. What is the difference? Demons want to gratify their senses independent of God. And demigods want to gratify their senses with the sanction of God. That's the difference. And a pure devotee is one who doesn't want any sense gratification. He wants to please only Krishna's senses. That's a pure devotee. A pure devotee stands beyond even demigods also. That's a very high platform. That is why in the 400,000 species of human life, the topmost few are pure devotees. They are beyond demigods also. So even demigods are below pure devotees. That is why we say, when we are glorifying Prabhupada Guru Puja, Yevayash Gushuk Tribhuvan, you say, no? In all the Tribhuvan, the demigods are glorifying Prabhupada, who is a pure devotee, who has appeared in this age to propagate the dharma of Krishna consciousness. So like Shiva and Brahmaji, sometimes they are having meetings with other demigods and the talk is going on. This pure devotee, Swami Prabhupada, who was born in India, now he is going in Jaladuta now. They must be having a meeting. Now he has reached America now. Now he started preaching now. Now the whole name is spreading around the world. He is traveling all around the world. Now he has left it to his disciples now and he has gone back to Godhead. It's a difficulty talking about this kind of movement also. Yeah, that is why it is said, Yebayash, Bushup, Tribhuvan. In all the three worlds they are talking. But demigods keep giving running commentary and they remain. While the pure devotees finish their job and go back to Godhead. Demigods keep remaining here for a pretty long time. Because they still have material desires. So they are born again and again many times. But the good quality of demigods is that they are obedient to Lord Vishnu. And they will only gratify their senses with permission of Lord Vishnu, otherwise not. Like sometimes a small child asks, you know, he is catching the jyoti of the father, Papa, Papa, you know, 10 paisa, 10 paisa, he keeps asking. The father gets irritated, okay, take it, go. And he goes. You've seen that? Similar demigods also go to Vishnu, nice, do some nice glorification and ask, please, some 10 paisa, something they ask. And they take it and go. And Vishnu keeps leaving them, okay, take it. But Vishnu still loves them. Why? because they are obedient children, not rebellious children. And demons are rebellious children. Demigods are obedient children. Now you see, any parent will develop love for a obedient child. Is it not true? And for a rebellious child, they will show love in a different way, maybe through punishment. But that punishment is seen as a lack of love by the rebellious children, isn't it? Now the demons often think, maybe Lord Vishnu is partial, he is siding with demigods, like that they think like that. Although it is not true. Like for example, say in your class sometimes you find after the class is over, there may be 2-3 students who go and meet that teacher and sit with the teacher and ask some questions about mathematics. And this question, that question and everything. And then when the examination test paper is set, when the marks come, they get the best marks. And immediately some mischievous students say, "Hey, just see, ye teacher ko soap lagaya." Because they are envious fellows, isn't it? Now who told you cannot put soap? But even if you put soap also, you won't get marks because you are not sincere, is it? If you are a sincere student, naturally the teacher also likes those students. And students also like those teachers. And the teacher and the student is able to take full benefit of the teacher, isn't it? They go to teacher and they learn more subject. And the teacher is also more and more happy to, you know, reveal more and more of the subject to them. And the teacher will have a natural affection for such students because they are obedient students, is it? So the demigods, they are in no mood to hear. Like if the teacher keeps an extra class and says, you know, the subject is so interesting, but our time period has got over in semester. So we will keep a class in the evening today, 6 to 8, please all of you come. But it is not mandatory, voluntary. So who will come? Only sincere fellows will come. And all other guys, they will say, "Hey, attendance nahi hai iske liye." Not the way to go. And then when they get poor marks, they will say, "See, this teacher is envious. Because we didn't go for his evening period now, so he reduced our marks." See, this is the way the demons are. You understand, no? This is the tendency. So, the demigods heard from Vishnu everything. And when they began chanting the mantra power, that's what happened. They saw Lord Vishnu is so kind. When the demons and demigods were carrying the Mandara Parvat fell and they broke their hands, legs, some of them died, some of them broke their limbs. But Lord Vishnu came flying in a Garuda there with his beautiful loving glance. Simply by looking at them, he brought them all back to life. And then he picked up the Parvat, put it on the back of Garuda and flew to the ocean, placed the Mandara Parvat in the ocean, and then he called the demigods and demons, "Come." He got the Vasuki, he tied it like a rope and told them to chant now. They started chanting. And then Lord saw that still they are very tired and they are not able to do. So Lord energized the body of the demigods with Sattoguna, energized the body of demons with Rajoguna, energized the body of Vasuki with Tamoguna, so Vasuki went to sleep. Being put in Tamoguna, that was very good because Vasuki is awake. Imagine if somebody, they are doing like this. Your body is used for churning, then your body will pain, isn't it? Like sometimes you lift a lot of weight and do some, like sometimes you break a old building or something, your whole shoulder, hand, legs, everything pains. Similarly, Vasuki would have felt pain, but Lord put Vasuki into the Tamoguna also. And then the mother could start going like this way, that way, and then Lord became a, you know, tortoise below. He became Ajita, one form of Vishnu on the top. So and then it was perfectly balanced. And the demigods are very, very grateful also. They are watching. Just see, we are not doing anything. He is doing everything. Just like you see, the sun is the cause of the rains. Without the sun, there cannot be rains. And the sun is the cause of the sustenance of the living bodies in this world. Isn't it? And the sun is the cause of the growth of a plant and trees, which produce grains and fruits and everything. If you are very careful, look at the universe, you can see God's hand in this world. Prabhupada explains it in the later part of the purport here. How much we are totally like dependent on, you know, God's supply of necessities, just like a child is connected to mother by an umbilical cord. You have seen child connect the umbilical cord to the mother, when the child is born, they will cut it. Till then it is connected. And even after that, the child, even after birth, is dependent on the mother. Hmm. Mother's breast milk, and mother's, protection and everything like that. Similarly, Brahma is born from the umbilical cord of God Vishnu, isn't it? From Vishnu's navel, a lotus came. That without the aid of Lakshmi or any other woman, Lord produced Brahma from his own navel. Huh? And Brahma can realize, my Lord, I am totally dependent on Lord Vishnu. He got darshan of Vishnu also. So he's called as Atma Bhu. And Brahma is the first son of the Supreme Lord. He is the first Acharya in our Sampradaya. And he turns in four directions and immediately he gets four heads. Then he turns around. And he studied the Lord gave him the instruction to do tapasya, and the Vedic knowledge was revealed. He studied, and the most enlightened personality in the whole creation, Brahma, here. And Brahma naturally is obedience of the Lord, naturally. But subsequently, those born from Diti are called Daityas and Aditya are called Adityas. The demigods and demons come later, two types of creatures. So, you will find all through this pastime how demigods remained obedient, you will see. Like, as the churning went on, suddenly one demon told another, "Hey, I hear Amangalam," he said. "We are given the, Aha is the snake, I hear Pucham Amangalam," he said. The tail, the tail of the snake is Amangal. And generally the face or the head portion is concerned Mangal. And Lord Vishnu is envious of us, so he has given us the tail side. And for demigods he has given head side. Then they protested, they said, "No, we will not come for this game. We are raising our hand," they said. Then Vishnu said, "Okay, what do you want, tell me? We want the head side." "Okay, take the head side." And the Lord told the demigod, "You go to the tail side." Chop chop, they went to the tail side, demigods. No comparison, no competition. Demigods didn't say, "My dear Lord, first you gave us the mouth side, why are you giving tail side now? We want mouth side only." They didn't say like that. See, this is the meaning of obedience. Once, as well as Ramaswamy was telling, that you should be completely surrendered to the instruction given. And somebody asked, "Maharaj, if somebody, then if the instruction is changed, what we should do? We should be completely surrendered to the changed instruction. If it is changed 100 times, what to do? And 100 times to surrender, according to the way it is changed." See, Lord told, "Now you take the mouth side." They took the mouth side. "Now you take the tail side, no problem." It's like saying, for example, somebody gives you a big bun, very nice bun, fishery, please take it. And you are about to eat it. And then somebody tells, "No, no, come here. You don't take this round bun. Round bun you give it to your brother. You take a square, ordinary bread." Because round bun people like more than the other one, isn't it? But you should be ready for anything. That's the meaning of surrender. Surrender means ready for anything. The demigods were surrendered like that. So, they accepted the tail side. And what result was what? As the churning went on, the mouth of the snake started vomiting smoke. Started. And all the demons were affected by that. Their faces and body became blackish. And the smoke was so poisonous. They were fainting and falling off. Now they realized what mistake we did. Some of them are talking amongst themselves, "We did a mistake by accepting them outside. How nice it would have been if demigods suffered like us." They were thinking like that. So, in this way, when the demons make independent plans, they suffer more and more. But the demigods actually are protected. Many things came out and demons were very eager. They picked up different things. Many things came out. At last when Halahal came, everybody was fainting. And Lord made Lord Shiva take it. Lord Shiva took it. And then at last, when Amrit came, the demons again snatched and ran. See, one surprising thing, demons, due to their independent mindedness, they forget the power of Lord Vishnu. Although they have seen it many times, several times they have seen this is an indefeatable person, supreme person, but they tend to forget it. Like Prabhupada says, the atheistic fellows, until the point of death, they cannot understand God. God comes as death, at that time he will swallow their life, they will get to know, just like the rat being torn by the cat. That time only they will know. Till then they are very proud. So, in this manner, just like the demigods and demons, Chinese, there's one beautiful verse at the end in this chapter 8.10, 8 canto 10 chapter. In this last leaf, there is a verse here which says,
Evam sura sura gana samadesha kala hetvartha karma matayopi phale vikalpaha tatramritam sura gana phalamanjasapur yatpada pankajaraja shrayanana daityaha.
He says here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best friend and well-wisher of the three worlds. That's when the demigods had almost finished drinking the nectar, the Lord, in the presence of all the demons, disclosed his original form. Which means the Mohini Murti, you know, gave all the nectar to the demigods, and the demons are watching, thinking that after some time she will come to us also. And they were maddened by her beauty. After finishing distribution of Amrit to the demigods, suddenly the Lord showed the Chaturbhuja form. The demons. And then it is said, the place, the time, the cause, the purpose, the activity and the ambition were all the same for both the demigods and the demons. But the demigods achieved one result and the demons achieved another. Because the demigods are always under the shelter of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet, they could very easily drink the nectar and get its result. The demons, however, not having sought shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, were unable to achieve the result they desired. In the human society, there are various activities performed for the protection of one's wealth and life by one's words, mind and actions. But they are all performed for one's personal or extended sense gratification. With reference to the body. All these activities are baffled because of being separate from devotional service. But when the same activities are performed for the satisfaction of the Lord, the beneficial results are distributed to everyone. Just as water poured on the root of a tree is distributed throughout the entire tree. You understand what he is saying? He is saying in this world, it's not that devotees are doing only devotional service, devotees also do their job, their profession, their daily chores, and they also have to earn some money and everything. But because devotee's life is centered around Krishna, the benefits are distributed to everybody. Then devotees offer their fruits of their action to Krishna, you see. See, one Prabhupada, he began this movement, one old man in his old age. And he worshipped Krishna and he glorified Krishna through chanting and speaking and writing books. And the result is how many living entities are benefiting? Hundreds and thousands and millions. You see? Just one person. Because of being a devotee. You can see that. On the other hand, there are also one persons like Anil Ambani, Tata Birla, there are people like that. What are they doing? They are also handling lot of money. They are also handling lot of different branches and centers and everything, if you see. Collecting more and more money from the world, or the money meant for others' welfare, and putting it in their pocket. It's a reverse process, isn't it? One process is take it and distribute to her. Another process is collect it and keep it in your pocket. Like the rich become richer, poor become poorer. Just see. So when Krishna is the center in the Vedic life, everybody is in a mood of giving, distributing. So there is no scarcity, you see. And when God is not the center, everybody is in the mood of taking, collecting, grabbing mentality, we call it. Grab, jitna luchata lutlo. How much you can grab, you grab that much. He said, that's what he is saying here. Prabhupada saying, this is the distinction between materialistic activities and activities performed in Krishna consciousness. The entire world is active, and this includes karmi, jnanis, yogis, bhaktas. However, all activities except those of bhaktas, and the devotees end in bafflement and waste of time and energy.
Mogasha, Mogakarmana, Mogajnana, Vichetasaha. If one is not a devotee, Vichetasaha means one has turned his face away from Krishna. Then his hopes and activities and knowledge are all baffled. A non-devotee works for his personal sense gratification or for the sense gratification of his family, society, community or nation. But because all such activities are separate from Supreme Lord, they are considered asat. The word asat means bad or temporary, and sat means permanent and good. So devotees' activities are called sat, and non-devotees' activities are called asat. So asat is temporary, but sat is permanent. Like that he is saying. In this way, so I was just talking about the nature of demons and demigods. Here is the section. You can know, we are talking about Kamsa because Brahma went to pray to the Lord to come and defeat Kamsa, isn't it? Because Kamsa was creating a lot of atrocities. To have a sample of Kamsa's nature, you can hear that. Just see what Kamsa says here. Here Kamsa is speaking. After Narada left, King Kamsa summoned Keshi and ordered him, go, kill Rama and Krishna. Rama means Balram. He's telling. This is 10th canto, 36th chapter, text number 21. He's saying, Tato mushti kachanura shala to shala kadikan amatyan hastipansh chaiva Samayuha Bhojara is saying, the king of Bhoja, who is king of Bhoja? Kamsa. Next called for his ministers, headed by Mushtik, Chanu, Shala, Toshala, and also for his elephant keepers. And the king is addressing all of them. See what he is telling them. Bhobo Rishamya Tamo Tameta Jira Chanura Mushtikau Nanda Praje Kila Sate Sutavana Kazundade Ramakrishna Kato Mahmashyam Mrityuh Kila Nidarshitaha Bhavadbhyamiha Sampraptav Hanjetam Malladhiraya. He is telling them, my dear heroic Chanu and Mushtik, please hear this. Rama and Krishna, the sons of Anakadundubi, Vasudev, are living in Nanda's covered village. It has been predicted that these two boys will be the cause of my death. When they are brought here, kill them on the pretext of engaging them in a wrestling match. He's telling. Erect a wrestling ring with many surrounding viewing stands and bring all the residents of city and outlying the districts to see the open competition. And then he's telling. Mahamatra, the elephant keeper, is telling him. Oh, you elephant keeper, my good man, you should position the elephant Kolepida at the entrance to the wrestling arena and have him kill my two enemies. And then he's saying, commence the bow sacrifice on the Chaturdashi day in accordance with relevant Vedic injunctions. In ritual slaughter, offer the appropriate kinds of animals to the magnanimous Lord Shiva. So, in this way he's making plan. See, Shala, Toshala, Chanur, Mushtik is preparing all the Mallidha wrestlers ready. Then he is preparing the Kubale Peed, very powerful elephant ready. Then he is also keeping a Dhanuri Yajna. Having thus commanded his ministers, Kamsa next called for Akrura, the most eminent of the Yadus. Kamsa knew the art of securing personal advantage, and thus he took Akrura's hand in his own and spoke to him as follows. He is speaking to Akrura now. See what he is telling. Bodhanapate Mahyam Kriyatam Maitramadritaha Nanyasvatto Hitatamo Vidyate Bhoja Vrishnishu. My dear Akrura, most charitable one, please do me a friendly favor out of respect. Amongst the Bhojas and Vrishnis, there is no one else as kind to us as you. Now he is praising Akrura because he is going to send Akrura to bring Krishna Balram. And he is telling, gentle Akrura, you always carry out your duties soberly, and therefore I am depending on you. Just as powerful Indra took shelter of Lord Vishnu to achieve his goals. Giving example also. So he is telling, actually he wanted to send Akrura. Why? He knew that this fellow's idea was what, Kamsa. He was telling his people that Kamsa, I mean Krishna and Balaram, these guys, ever since they went to Vraja, I think they are hiding behind the bushes and attacking my enemies like a gorilla warfare. Once you bring them from there to Mathura, in front of me, put them in the public wrestling arena, you can very easily defeat them. That was his notion, Kamsa had. That's why he's telling. But he knows, if I send some asura to bring them, they won't come. So he's sending somebody like Akrura, who is very friendly with Krishna Balaram. Through them he wants to bring them. And then he's saying, Gaccha nanda vrajam tatra sutha vana kadundu behe asate ta vihanena rathena nayamachira. Please go to Nanda's village, where the two sons of Vasudeva were living. And without delay, bring them here on this chariot. And then he's telling, after you bring Krishna Balaram, I will have them killed by my elephant and all that he is saying. And if by chance they escape from him, I will have them killed by my wrestlers and all that. And then he is there, now he is telling, this is what shows his demonic mentality. See what he says here. When these two have been killed, I will kill Vasudev and all their lamenting relatives, the Vrishnis, Bhojas and Dasharhas. I will also kill my old father, Ugrasena. He is saying, who is greedy for my kingdom? And I will kill his brother Devaka and all my other enemies as well. Ugrasenam chapitaram staviram rajyakamukam, he is saying. Staviram means he is an old man and he is a rajyakamukam, he is saying. Ugrasenam chapitaram. Who made Ugrasena the king?
Krishna.
Krishna later made him the king, you know that? In fact, this fellow was plotting to kill Ugrasena, but Krishna made him the king later. And then Kamsa was killed, you see. This is the way of the material world. This fellow is plotting against Ugrasena. He is calling him, he is an old man. And he is Taviram. And he is Raja Kamakam. And he is greedy for Raja. And I will kill his brothers. And then he is saying, then my friend, this earth will be free of thorns. Tadaschaisha mahi mitra bhavitri nashtakantaka. He is saying, there will be no thorns for me. No more enemies for me. In this way, I will be ruling the world very happily. Then he is saying, Jarasandho mama guru duvido dahita sakha. See? Jarasandho mama guru. And I don't have to fear Jarasandha. Why? He is our Guruji. Our Guruji means he is 10 times like me. That's why he is saying, my elder relative Jarasandha and my dear friend Duvida are solid well-wishers of mine. As are Shambhara, Naraka and Bana. You can see from the association. Shambhara, Sur, Naraka, Sur, Bana, Sur, they are all our well-wishers and solid well-wishers of mine. I will use them all to kill off those kings who are allied with the demigods. And then I will rule the earth, he is saying. Jarasandha is his father-in-law for Kamsa. So he is telling, he is the elder and they are all my well-wishers. And they can be in the world, I have no problem. Because they are not my enemies. Now that you understand my intentions, please go at once and bring Krishna and Balaram to watch the bow sacrifice and see the opulence of Yadu's capital. And then Akrura is telling, O king, you have expertly devised the process to free yourself of misfortune. Still, one should be equal in success and failure, since it is certainly destiny that produces the results of one's work. Like that is telling Akrura. He is saying, my dear king, don't be too enthusiastic, he is saying, before seeing the end result. Wait and watch what's going to happen. But by bringing Krishna Balaram, surely you will get rid of your misfortune, like that he is telling. The truth only he understands, Akrura. In this way, Kamsa showed a very beautiful golden rath chariot to Akrura and said, I'm gifting this chariot to you today, please accept it. And you can use this chariot to go and bring Krishna Balaram. And there was a smile on Akrura's face. Seeing that smile, Kamsa thought, maybe he is smiling that I have gifted him a beautiful new chariot. Just like imagine if somebody gives a new car, even the plastic covers are not removed. You tear the plastic covers and then they are telling you do a test drive. Some people are itching to drive a new car when you get the smell of the new car, the smell of the rubber tire and everything. People are itching to drive a car, a newly purchased bike or something, isn't it? Suddenly he comes a thought, oh, he is smiling because I have gifted him this chariot. And now he will not feel any pinch that he has to bring Krishna Balaram to the kill. But why did Akrura smile? He is getting opportunity to meet Krishna Balaram. But the foolish Kamsa was thinking otherwise, you see. Yeah. See, from Kamsa's speech you can see this slokas which I read just now. You can easily understand what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter. He says, you know, he says, idam adhyamaya labdham imam prapse manoratham idam asti idam vime bhavishyanti punardhanam adyo abhijanaman asmi konyosi sadrishomaya. He says, asau hatam ayashatruhu hanishye chaparanapi ईश्वरोहम अहम भोगी सिद्धोहम बलवान सुखी. इज टेलिंग सेम थिंग कृष्णा इज टेलिंग. इज टेलिंग टुडे आई हैव $1 million इन माई अकाउंट, नेक्स्ट ईयर आई विल मेक इट $10 million, थर्ड ईयर आई विल मेक इट $20 million. इन दिस वे आई विल हैव अबंडेंट मनी विद मी एंड देयर आर फ्यू फेलोज हू आर माई एनिमीज. आई विल फिनिश देम. आई विल सेंड सम इन ऑनरेबल पीपल एंड किल देम. आई विल फिनिश देम ऑफ एंड वंस दे आर फिनिश्ड देन आई एम अ फ्री बर्ड. And I have no more enemies. In this way, I will be konyoshi sadrushamaya. Who is there like me in this world? Demons think like this. And the demon is Kamsa, you can see. This is the way Kamsa thinks. You can see. See, he has no respect for Ugrasena, his father. He is saying, Ugrasenam, Staviram, Rajya Kamukam. He is criticizing his elderly father without any respect. And he is trying to kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The nature of a demon. So the demons try to kill the Lord and they themselves in the course of trying to do that get killed. That is the way. Now one amazing thing we will read in Kamsa's life. Kamsa, when Durga appeared as a seventh child, you know, and then he didn't know it's Durga. He picked up the girl child's feet and then he was trying to beat on the rock, you know, and then she flew up in the sky. And then she gave darshan of Durga Devi with 10 hands, carrying all the weapons. And the shining form of Durga when he saw, and Durga said, oh foolish Kamsa, the person who is supposed to kill you is born elsewhere. You don't know. And then she scolded him. Actually, he was a devotee of Durga. When he saw Mother Durga, he was shocked. He said, how is it Devaki that you gave birth to Durga? My worshipable deity. That means you, how great you must be. Immediately he fell at the feet of Devaki. After Durga disappeared, he fell at the feet of Devaki and was there and cried tears. Torrents of tears he cried. And he touched both their feet and said, I feel so bad that I have killed your 6 children. And you are mother of Durga. How great you must be. And he said, I am very sorry that I have behaved so atrociously. Still, don't worry, all the children died due to their own destiny. Don't worry, like he was pushing the blame on destiny. And whatever has happened, and the past cannot be reversed. But don't worry, immediately he personally removed the chains from their hands and relieved them from the jail and told them to go and live in the palace. And Vasudeva and Devaki, being very noble souls and pure devotees of Krishna, they were so broad-minded that they at once forgave Kamsa. That is their nature. They didn't take any offences. But still Vasudeva Devaki thought that, you know, such people with uncontrolled senses like Kamsa cannot be relied upon. Any time he may again put us back in the jail, and they were prepared for it. They were not afraid. So when he did this and in the night, and then the next day morning Kamsa got up and he had his mind very peaceful and relieved that all these years I lived as a very great asura, creating so much trouble for everybody. Now I have become a good soul and I have relieved Vasudeva. They are peaceful, I am peaceful. And he thought that it is my duty to tell the ministers. Let me explain to them.
So
he called his ministers. And let us see what ministers told him. Now here is it. When Devaki saw her brothers were repentant, she also became pacified and forgot all the atrocious activities. Vasudev also, forgetting all past incidents, spoke smilingly. Vasudev told Kamsa, my dear fortunate brother-in-law. And then he spoke many philosophical things. Now here, Vasudev took the opportunity of Kamsa's benevolence and informed him that his atheistic activities were also done due to his misconception of life, namely taking material body to be the self. And Vasudev talked to Kamsa in an illuminating way. Kamsa became very pleased and he returned home with a relieved mind. The next day Kamsa called all his counselors together and narrated to them. Yeah. Every king used to have some counselor, guide, advisors and all. Then he narrated to them all the incidents that had happened the night before. All the counselors of Kamsa were demons and eternal enemies of the demigods. So they became depressed upon hearing their master speak of the night's events. And although they were not very much experienced or learned, they began to give instructions to Kamsa as follows. Dear sir, let us now make arrangements to kill all children who were born within the last 10 days in all towns, countries, villages and pasturing grounds. Let us execute this plan indiscriminately. We think the demigods cannot do anything against us if we perform these atrocities. Demigods are also afraid of fighting with us. And even if they wish to check our activities, they will not dare to do so because of the immeasurable strength of your bow. They fear you. Indeed, we have practical experience that whenever you stood to fight with them and you began to shower your arrows on them, they immediately began to flee in all directions just to save their lives. Many of the demigods were unable to fight with you and immediately surrendered themselves unto you by opening their turbans and flag on their heads. With folded hands they begged you to spare them. And you would never kill such surrendered fighters when they were all fearful, their bows, arrows, chariots broken, forgetful of their military activities and unable to fight with you. So they are telling they're boosting his false ego, you see. So what they are telling, the demigods take the turban and keep it at your lotus feet. Not lotus feet, heart feet. And they bow down to you. And their chariots are broken. They are defeated and many demigods are running away from you. Your bow is so powerful. Why are you so unnecessarily afraid of what is dharma and all these things? And they are telling him also. And here further they are saying, you see, there is nothing to fear from these demigods. They are very proud of being great fighters in peacetime outside the war field. But actually they cannot show any talent or military power on the war field. Although Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma are always ready to help demigods headed by Indra, there is no reason to be afraid of them also. Why? Because as far as Lord Vishnu is concerned, he has already hidden himself within the hearts of all living entities. and he cannot come out. As far as Lord Shiva is concerned, he has renounced all activities and he has already entered into the forest. And Lord Brahma is always engaged in different types of austerities and meditation. And what to speak of Indra? He is a straw in comparison to your strength. Therefore, we have nothing to fear from all these demigods. But we must not neglect them because the demigods are our determined enemies. We must be careful to protect ourselves. To root them out from their very existence, we should just engage ourselves in your service and be always ready for your command. And then the demons are saying, some demons Sometimes when there's a disease in the body, it should not be neglected, it becomes incurable. Similarly, if we are not careful about restraining our senses, the senses become loose. Similarly, we should be careful of the demigods before they get too strong to be subdued. So they were thinking demons, some demigods have influenced this fellow's brain, due to which he started behaving like this. He has become very submissive and is releasing Vasudeva Devaki for the child. This is not proper, they thought. The foundation of strength of the demigods is Lord Vishnu, because the ultimate goal of all religious principles is to satisfy him. The Vedic injunctions, the brahmanas, cows, austerity, sacrifices, performance of dan, and distribution of wealth are all for satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. So let us immediately begin by killing all the brahmanas who are in charge of Vedic knowledge, and let us kill the great sages who are in charge of sacrificial yajna ritual performances. Let us kill all the cows, which are the source of butter, which is necessary for performing sacrifice. So please give us your permission to kill all these creatures. Like that they said. We think that to kill Lord Vishnu is to persecute the great sages and brahmanas, they were saying. And then thus being advised by demoniac ministers, Kamsa, who was from the very beginning the greatest rascal, decided to persecute the brahmanas and Vaishnavas, you see. And he ordered the demons to harass all kinds of saintly persons. And then he entered the house. The adherents of Kamsa were all influenced by the modes of passion, as well as illusioned by modes of ignorance, and their only business was to create enmity with saintly persons. You see? The result of persecuting saintly persons is not only untimely death and all that he is saying. So you understood how Kamsa's mentality changed again. So this is one proof that the demon occasionally may behave like good, but again it will switch back to demoniac mentality. You will see that, especially Kamsa. So here, Prabhupada says here, the spirit is light and the body is very heavy. Here he is quoting that example that the earth floats in space among many millions of planets, and every planet, you know, it has got oceans and mountains, such heavy things, but the earth doesn't feel any burden. But if there is one fellow who is a non-devotee, then the earth feels a big burden. Amazing, no? Imagine, for example, say 500 of you have come for a yatra and there is only one thief there. So how many people will be disturbed? 499. Other 499. Is it not true? One thief is enough. He is looting somebody's mobile, he is looting somebody's money. Nobody knows who is the thief, where is he? But he is looting here and there. Similarly, earth also feels great burden by such kind of, you know, people who are against Lord Vishnu. Yeah. And then Prabhupada is saying that like if a father is walking with a child, he can just catch the finger of the child and walk, because the spirit is light. Whereas when a person dies, the body becomes heavy, burden. Similarly, Prabhupada says here, he uses this example. Spirit soul is so light that when freed from the body, it can go within a second to Vaikuntha. Why then does the world become overloaded? Because all spirit souls are light. It becomes overloaded due to the presence of demons, those who are against devotional service. When Mother Earth feels this load to be too heavy, Krishna comes just to unburden the earth. The ship is overloaded, its position is very dangerous, for it may sink any moment. So when the Mother Earth felt too uncomfortable because of being overloaded with demons, she approached Brahma. See, this is also psychological for earth. Why? Because she is the consort of Lord Vishnu. You know, Bhudevi and Sridevi, you have seen in chest of Lord Balaji. So she is one of the wives, consorts of the Lord Earth. Now, being a consort of the Lord, she is the mother of all living entities, isn't it? And she is supplying all the needs from the earth. And we are supposed to use them and engage in what? Devotional service. But if somebody is using them for not only self gratification but to do against the Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, cows, Brahminical culture and everything, will she be peaceful?
No.
it becomes a very big headache for her. Because you know, there is a beautiful verse in first canto.
Kavasaheta viraham purushottamasya premavaloka ruchirasmitavalgujalpaihi sairyam samanamaharan madhumanininam romotsavo mamajadankivitankitaya.
Mother Bhumi, she is praying, my dear Krishna, sometimes you are in Vrindavan, sometimes you went to Mathura, sometimes you went to Dwaraka, but wherever you were in, I was always happy, wife, because your lotus footprints were always touching my head. So I was always happy. But the queens of Dwaraka were unhappy when Krishna went to Vraj. When Krishna went to Dwaraka, then Vrajavasis were unhappy because they were separated, isn't it? Whereas I was never separated from you. So I was always happy in whichever place you are on earth. But now that you are going back home, back to Godhead, now I will be separated from you. Like that she is lamenting. How can I tolerate these feelings of separation? Kava saheta viraham purushottamasya. She is telling. So, Mother Earth, when she gets the footprints of Krishna, even the toughest job for her becomes easy for her. See, so many fellows, 6 billion people are passing stool and urine on her. Can you imagine? And she has to produce so much of, you know, fruits and flowers and grains and cereals for everybody. And such huge mountains and oceans are on the surface of earth. But none of these things is a burden for her as long as Krishna is putting his footprint on her. See, this is called as burden of love. Burden of love means, like once I saw a thin, skinny mother having a very stout baby. The baby was like a pharynx baby, you know. And another lady was telling her, Mataji, why are you carrying this baby? It's so heavy. Just keep him down. No, no problem, no problem, she was telling. Your mother loves the child very much. So the burden of the baby doesn't appear like burden at all. Why? Burden of love, isn't it? Like you carry the suitcase of your mother or father. Although it is burdensome, but you like to do it. It's simply out of love. So we take burden, why? When there is?
Love.
Love. And that is how we serve Prabhupada's movement with dedication when we love Prabhupada. We don't mind the pinch that may come in the course of our dedication. No? In the same manner, Bhumi says, I have no problem. But when this kind of demoniac fellows come and live on my globe, see, Bhumi is not Mother Earth itself. The Bhumi is predominated by one Devi. She is called Bhumata, we call her. Bhuma Devi, we call her. Sometimes she takes the shape of a cow. She can take any demigod shape. And she is the presiding deity of Earth. And she is praying, offering this prayer to Brahma and telling Brahma, let's go to Vishnu. You know, because these atrocious fellows like Kamsa are living on me. And they are taking my facility and they are talking against Krishna, against Brahmanas, they are destroying Yajnas. How can I support such people? For example, money meant for Krishna service can be allowed to be stolen by thieves. Can like imagine somebody is taking money from boys and purchasing some newspapers to read. How atrocious waste of money it is, isn't it? In those days, early days, I used to give Devamrita Prabhu's DD lectures to boys. So later on, boys took many from me. I never kept track. I used to give notes, Xerox the notes and give it to boys. So I used to give Xerox notes one side only. So many of the boys would come for the program, they started using it like one-side paper. Because they were not serious about the class. They would go back and use it like one-side paper because one side would be empty. Then I started Xeroxing back to back. And they would say, probably we don't need the notes, they say. Why? Because they can't use it. You understand, no? Those fellows are gone. Similarly, they took this DD series, some lectures, audio tapes in those days. And they started recording filming music, overwriting it. You can overwrite now. And they were hearing it. Later on, we became very strict in control. We said, we will not give it out to anybody. And they have to return it. If they don't return, we will find them and all. So somebody may take Krishna's wealth and misuse it, misapply it. Like that, Bhuma Devi is feeling, Earth is feeling like that. And when the world is overrun by demons and atheists, they create a burden. And the demigods, pious administrators of the universe become perplexed. The people of the state abide by the laws. Administration is easy. But if people are criminals, they overburden state administrators. A similar situation sometimes upsets the balance of cosmic affairs of this material world. Both the demons and demigods always exist. But when the demoniac power increases, the world is overburdened. It is then that the demigods approach Lord Brahma for assistance. You see, in voice also you can ask the managers, when the inmates are like demigods, they are cooperative. See, demigods is a very good comparison because we are all not completely free from material diseases. You see, we have material diseases. But even with material diseases, we can live cooperatively. It's possible. Provided we are completely subservient to the instructions of Krishna and Guru and, the Shastras. They're submissive. But sometimes people's material diseases become so dominant, so big, they don't care for the sanctions given. Whether something is sanctioned or not sanctioned, they don't care. Then they try to grab others' things. Then they try to encroach on others' freedom. Then the problem comes, you see. So, in this way, the main point is this only. Bharavataranayange Bhuvonava Ivodadhau Sidantya Bhuri Bharena Chato Hyatma Bhuvartitaha. This is Mother Earth is praying to Brahmaji, and then Brahma, on behalf of all the demigods, is praying to Lord Vishnu, Shivadaksha Vishnu, to arrange for the invitation of Lord Krishna to this world. After that, the advent of Krishna takes place. Krishna appears, and then Krishna personally kills Kamsa. He goes to Mathura and personally destroys Kamsa. He arranged for Bhima to kill Jarasandha. He personally killed Shishupal. All this is Kamsa and company. List of longest demons here. Krishna killed Bhaumasura also, Narakasura. And Balaram killed Dvivida. You see? All the demons were killed. So Lord kills all the demons. Lord is not greedy for any post or position. He gave the post to Ugrasena. You be the king, and Lord, when Lord would stand in Dwaraka and report to Ugrasen, Uddhava says, that is Lord, when I see you are the actual king of Dwaraka, but you want to give Ugrasena the position out of your humility and respect for the elders. Seeing this, the heart of Uddhava is melting. So, in this way, the nature of demons is very vividly described in the scriptures. As devotees, it is very important for us to know the demoniac mentality so that we don't behave in a demoniac way. Because in our hearts, both these are there. Our heart is like the place of churning of the milk ocean. And the amrit which comes at the end is Krishna prem. But before Krishna prem comes, lot of halahal will come. And lot of gifts will come. Like anarthanavritti is halahal. Anarthanavritti stage, that is halahal. And prior to that, bhajan kriya when you do, lot of parangarangini will come. Parangarangini is all kinds of gifts will come. Material allurements will come. One shouldn't become carried away by those things. And then, most importantly, one should be very internally submissive to the instructions of Krishna. And I can think of, can any of you say in the Samudram Tanila, which are the points where the demigods would have lost control? From the beginning, you say. Which are the points? Like in the very beginning, when they were trying to carry the pervert, everything, their hands, legs got broken down. Correct? That is the first breakdown point. They would have said, damn it, I am not going to do it now. Similarly, we are all given services sometimes, and we do, and there are difficulties, we blame this authority, that authority, so many people. Some people now give up the service and go away. You see? What other point the demigods would have given up service? Next to this?
When they were told to catch the tail,
they would have given up and gone. Isn't it? And what other instance?
The mountain was drowning.
The mountain was drowning inside the water, they would have thought, hey, this is the end of it. Now it's useless to make this endeavor. But we are going now. And Vishnu would have told them, wait for some time, I will do something. They may say, no. We don't have any hopes. They could have gone away. They didn't go. Then?
For example, Yeah? Ah, when poison came, it's very frightening. Huh? It appears that they are all going to die, perish. They would have left the snake and they would have run away. Hmm? Is it not? They can run away. Halal came, blackish poison. It was spreading in all over the ocean. And Lord Shiva took the concentrate on that. And he drank it. Hmm? So, they were very patient that time also, yeah. And then? Many gifts when they came, they would have, you know, taken one of the gifts and run away. They might have told Vishnu, Vishnu, all the demigods are there for you, they will do what you are saying, but for me this one gift is enough now. They didn't do that. Yeah. Sometimes people are too, what do you call it, too passionate to accept such gifts and satisfy their greed. People are too eager for credit in this world. Also, they push everybody else behind. They want to capture the limelight. You see? It's very... So Lord Charles and demigods were very obedient. In fact, demons took some of those gifts. Demigods didn't take anything. Then, on his own, Lord gave. Airavat he gave to Indra. Like that he gave some other gifts. And when the Amrit came out, and demons took it and ran away. That time demigods could have cursed Vishnu, or they would have scolded Vishnu, or they would have said, what is Vishnu's management, useless management? See, you know, after all this endeavor, when the Amrit came to surface, it's gone. You know, all these years we were obedient to Vishnu, now we understand how foolish we are. We thought that ultimately Vishnu will win. Vishnu doesn't have any control. And Vishnu only was catching it. Correct? He was only catching the Amrit Kalash. From his hand only it was snatched. And another form of Vishnu took it back from the demons. Who is it? And that type of faith was there in demigod. They knew it. Although Vishnu is releasing his hands now, the Amrit Kalash to go away from his hands, not that Vishnu can be fooled by anybody. Huh? Vishnu can never be fooled. He is the father of all living beings. So they were fully confident. And then it came back. That's how they got the fruits. Huh? They got the... So it is said in that Bhagavatam, last verse which we read, all the wonderful results of their endeavor was achieved because they were obedient to Vishnu. That is the... So they are very cooperative amongst themselves with complete submission to Lord Vishnu's desires. That's the speciality of demigods. Actually, you all have heard the story of demigods eating with the bamboo tied to their hands. How many of you know it? You heard about it? Yeah. This story, I heard a little prayer, some more information about this. Once the demons went to Brahmaji and asked, who are the best? Are Daitya's best? Or Aditya's best? And Brahma knew very well, if I say Aditya's are best, demigods are better than you, they will get wild on me. And they will create more trouble in the world. So Brahma was a very mature great-grandfather. So he said, that let us understand amongst you who is great. That's very simple. When the right time comes, time will prove it. When will the time come? They asked. Wait and watch, he said. And then Brahma once called all of them for a very big feast. And as soon as the feast was about being, all the demons lined up. And they all lined up. And the demigods were just now getting ready, but no demigod was given any place. Demons were standing first. Then, demons standing in the queue. And then, Brahmaji asked the demons, so who should eat the prasad first? Should we serve to devatas or to you? They said, why do you ask such a question? There is no question on that. This is a meaning, irrelevant question. How can somebody else go ahead of us? So, then they went and sat, everybody sat. Everybody was standing in the queue to enter the hall, you know. And then Brahma said, okay, if you want to eat first, you can eat, and then after you, demigods can eat. Yeah. And then at the entrance, everybody was tied a bamboo, their hands like this, the rope. What is this new ritual, they were asking. Yeah, this is the condition for this. Eating prasad. And then they all were welcomed and taken and said, they all went and sat, they're talking to each other, what is this? Why this, you know, What is the reason? And Ranjan and Prasanna were served all kinds of items, very nice. And then the demons were trying to eat. How can you eat with a long hand like this? They would take a laddu and do like this. It's not thumb only. So then the demon means, you know, they are so selfish, they cannot think of others at all. And while eating, they thought, me and my plate, that's all. They became blind to see anyone else. And then they took the laddu and they threw it like this, catch it like this. So they are trying to catch it, to get under the nose. And all the laddu became powder after that. Yeah. Then they mix some rice and sambar. Came and landed on their ears, eyes. The eyes started burning. They started shouting. You can imagine sambar landing on your eyes. And demons started running to water tap, wash their hands and wash their... They were scolding Brahma also. What kind of feast is this? They were beating each other and shouting. This is useless feast, they were saying. Nobody can eat like this. So, and they were asking whether we can remove this stick and eat. Brahma said, no, it's the only condition. You can eat as much as you want, but with the stick only. Then they were sent out. What is this? They asked. Brahma said, it's a test, special test. Then the demigods were sent in. They were all very polite, well-behaved, cooperative. They all sat in their places. And the demigods also took a letter. They thought, you know, yeah, they would eat. How to eat it? You see, the demigods are actually, the divine assets means what? To think of others first. And then think. And they said, actually others, Pandi was like this. Then what they did? They took an, I cannot eat it anyway, you eat it, they gave. And the other person thought, I also cannot eat mine, so let me feed you. They were feeding him both, each other. You feed him and he feeds you. Is it? Peacefully ate. Shanti, shanti, no problem at all. The whole prasadam went very, very peacefully. And the demons were all from the windows watching what the demigods are doing. Laughing from the window. Hey, this was the eating. And this idea didn't occur to us. And they went to Brahma. They told Brahma, you could have told us to do this. We also would have done. Brahma said, this will never come in your head, this idea. Because you always think of yourself. And then they asked Brahma, now you tell us who is great. And Brahma said, I don't have to tell you. You can understand the answer yourself. You see? So, I heard this elaborate version of this story. So, this is the nature of demons. Actually, when we understand Daivi Sampath and Asari Sampath, we should carefully try to remove Asari Sampath from our heart. They are no good. We are a mixture of both in this world. Even after coming to devotional service, you may have some Asari Sampath. Sometimes, you know, a devotee says, I want to cooperate. Like a boy says, like one boy asked, Prabhupada, I'm ready to join boys, but I want a separate room. Separate room? How can you have separate room? All the boys, there are 20 fellows living in one house. You have to adjust. So, sometimes people make such demands. Such kind of demands. Yeah. Similarly, the one boy was telling, Prabhuji, from the beginning day of PL up to the end of exam, I cannot cut sabji, I cannot roll chapati. But then the cook was not available. So devotees are telling Prabhu, everybody is doing. If studies are important for you, studies are important for others also. Are you the only one studying? No, I cannot do it. Don't disturb me. But then prasadam time when bell rings, he comes. Takes with everybody. He doesn't feel ashamed at all. See, everybody else is cooking. They're working hard, rolling chapati, doing everything. So sometimes we find the boys, two, three boys always are like that. That they become too study conscious and they don't want to extend themselves. Actually, we have to know, like one time what happened, there was an examination the next day. That evening, two boys were going in a bike. And then suddenly there was an accident and one of them broke his, you know, bones. And the other boy who was with him, he had to take him to hospital and put bandage and everything. 3 hours went in there, practically. And he could not revise for the next day's paper, you see. But still, he did that service, understanding that, you know, after all, we both went in the bike, there was some accident happened. You know, you cannot just leave that fellow on the road and run away. because I have to revise for tomorrow's subjects. Is it not true? Sometimes we know that certain situation comes which you can't, you know, we have to cooperate at any cost. Hmm? So, okay, I will fare the best whatever I can in the exam. Hmm? But sometimes we have to extend ourselves. So, we can see when we are in voice, staying together, some demonic mentalities will come out. They come to surface. I want to do something independently. Hmm? What? Sometimes we want to do something which we only want to do. Now we don't want to do what we are told to do. Like, you know, we went to Vrindavan Yatra now, recently. So I came to know that one of the devotees, he did Dandavat Parikrama around Radhakund. He went around, it took him 4 hours. Now, you can see in Vrindavan people doing Dandavat Parikrama around Govardhan. In our sampradaya, nobody will do it. Because Prabhupada never has prescribed it. Maybe somebody like very exalted acharyas who want to do it, inspired by Krishna from within, may do it. But generally, Radhana Samaraj doesn't like people doing these kind of things. Dandavat Parikrama and everything. But this fellow, one of the devotees, he is going around, going around Radhakund doing this Dandavat Parikrama, which is not prescribed. You understand, no? When everybody is going in a yatra together, instead of being with all devotees, you also go around Govardhan with everybody, hear the katha, be with the devotees. No, I will do something separate, something independent. Like that, you see. Like one fellow was accompanying me to a program, house program. And the way he was asking me, Prabhuji, the temple managers have told me to accompany you. So am I supposed to hear your lecture or can I sit in the car and do my own reading? He was asking me. Then I told him, whatever pleases you. I told him. Then after some time, when I was going for the program, he also came. I said, you're coming now or you want to sit in the car and read? I said, he said, okay, Prabhuji, I'll attend, Prabhuji. You know, I have come with you. I think it's not appropriate for me to be sitting in the car and doing my own reading. Because once before he did that, and then I went to the house, they asked me, that Prabhuji who came with you, where is he? Because they saw him from the top. So I had to tell them that, you know, he's sitting in the car and reading. Does it look good? This is independent-mindedness, you see. And if you ask him, why you want to do that? I want to do some shravanam, you see. What you want to do shravanam? Is this not shravanam, hearing the class? So this is independent mentality, you see. I want to do something on my own. Like, you know, one devotee came to Bombay and he was having his own deity, small deity, some kind of Laddu Gopala something which he was carrying, some brahmachari. Okay. So morning when the chanting time starts, he will say, I have to go for puja. And I have to do puja of my own deity. And then chanting 2 hours he will do before Mangalarti, alone, without anybody. And then during chanting time he will go to do puja for his deity. So seeing this, some other devotees, I don't want to mention name, 2-3 other devotees in Chapati, they also wanted to have deities. Or small altar of their own. Once Radhana Swami gave a heavy class. He said, if you want to have your own deity, get married, he said. Become a grihastha in your home, you can have your deity. Your own personal deity you can have in your home. He said, you cannot have a separate altar. Only altar in Radha Gopinath temple is Radha Gopinath altar. Everybody should come there and worship. You don't have to have your own separate worship, individual worship, you see. Very strongly Maharaj spoke that time in your class. So in this way, we have a tendency, when all Vaishnavas are doing one thing, we want to do something different on our own, become independent. This is the mentality of demons actually. But Vishnu is clearly saying, you do this, you will be successful. And they don't want to do that, they want to do something on their own, you see. Independent mentality, independent mindedness. So, this is one very bad mentality, independent mindedness. Selfishness is also the characteristic of demons. Always thinking about only oneself, never thinking about others. You see, some devotees have a very natural tendency. You go in the train, immediately when break was prasad, they will want to take the prasad and distribute to other devotees. Or they will take 2-3 bottles of other devotees, go on. Fill up water and bring it, and then give it to devotees, please take Prabhuji. So there is a tendency, some people have a tendency to always serve others. which is very good quality to be developed. On the other hand, in those days, I don't want to mention name, one of the voices, I went for the morning program, I remained till noon. And I saw what they were doing, one boy will come to kitchen and roll his own chapatis. Four for chapatis, put it, make it, and then eat it and go. And the next fellow will come, he will roll his chapatis. So I called the manager, hey, what's happening here? Morning, you didn't make chapatis for all? He said, no, Guruji, our boys are demanding so many chapatis. Everybody says we want 8 chapatis. And we are not able to cope up. We told them that, you know, chapati is limited. But they are not accepting limited chapatis. They say, we want unlimited. Now we told them, you make as many unlimited as you want. You make it yourself and eat. So all of us, we come, the chapati cutter is kept, we take gola, make, and we make it and take it and go. Is that a good plan?
No.
Not a good plan. There will be no love and trust developed between devotees at all. Everybody says, you take care of yourself, I take care of myself. Yeah, it's a very bad policy. Then I told him, okay, if there are 2 devotees holding chapati every day, make 4 devotees. Then make unlimited chapatis for everybody. Ultimately, everybody is making on their own, instead you make for others. See, serving others is better than serving one's own belly, you see? One's own self. Is it not true? Do service to others. Don't be selfish. Radhanathan Maharaj spoke so beautifully in one of the yatras in Vrindavan. He spoke about how a person who is serving others gets more delight than the one who is eating. He was serving. He was establishing that point. Because jiva by nature has a service attitude. And demoniac attitude means impurity that is covering over the spirit soul, which makes them demoniac, which makes them selfish, which makes them independent minded, which makes them rebellious. Similarly, every voice as a manager, PM, OC and all these people, these people's service is a very tough job. Very tough, because they have to actually hear everybody and try to bring about a final plan. And the people who are below, they should always cooperate. We have to know that, you know, the policy that is being made is a balanced policy for all. You should not say that, why my idea is not accepted fully. If everybody demands, only my idea should be accepted, is it possible? It's not possible. You be in that post, then you will understand how difficult it is. How difficult it is to balance a group of 20, 30, 40 devotees. So the person who is sitting at the top as a project manager or a OC or a PA, so these people are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord has put them in order to bind the energies of the living entities together and make it offerable to the Supreme God. So everybody should align. And together, of course, the idea can always be given, but one should be detached from the idea given. Give your opinion and cooperate. That's what we learned from the demigods, you see. They were working together under the... Because their respect for Vishnu is very great. Similarly, a devotee's respect for Guru should be so great. I don't want to burden the shoulder of my Guru. I don't want to become a headache for him or a thorn for him. I will cooperate with all devotees and live my life in such a way that my Guru will be happy. Prabhupada will be happy. Prabhupada, what did he say? If you want to show your love for me, cooperate. And cooperating means maybe we have to bend a little bit. You see, the demigods were bending. They were first told, catch the mouth of the snake, they caught. Catch the tail of the snake, they caught. Which means they were ready to bend themselves. So one of the aspects of cooperation is to be able to bend flexibly. Yes, and if the authorities have made this plan, if all people are happy with that, okay, you also flow with that. No need to adamantly have one's own independent ideas. You see, this is a very... So these things you learn. So otherwise you become a burden, you see. If one person wants to do something independent and doesn't cooperate with everybody, then the whole mood gets spoiled. Like everybody says, like for example, you all are going for yatra. Say you are going to your ocean beach and your authority makes a plan that we will not take bath. Better that we just take a 3-drop bath. The ocean is very fierce. And you say, no, Prabhuji, I know swimming, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you don't know swimming. That doesn't mean, you know, nobody should swim. You may be leader of the group, you don't know swimming, but I know swimming. You see. And the Prabhu said, yes, Prabhu, you know swimming, that's why you should not take bath. The swimming people are overconfident. Let's take a 3-drop bath and go. All right? So, see, whatever I am telling you, these are all real stories. We went to one yatra and this was told. They announced it like this, we will not take bath here. And then the bus was ready and everybody was boarding the bus. But three fellows from Pune, these three fellows jumped into the waters and they started taking bath. And by the time they dried up their body and came, the buses were honking, pa, 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 why they are not coming and everything. That one, none of those three fellows are in Pune now. Two of them have left ashram, one fellow is in some other temple. Yeah, because these fellows, immediately in Bombay, when the Yatra committee meeting was there, they called Radhesham Prabhu, they called me, I went. Prabhu, three of your people in Pune, they did not obey, they did not cooperate. You see, we told people, nobody needs to take bath, everybody board the bus. It's risky, but still your fellows jumped into waters and they were, one of them was about to drown. And one Bombay devotee jumped into water and saved the devotee and all. Prabhuji, you know, train your people please, you know, to cooperate nicely. Then I banned them for next 3 years. You cannot go for yatra. You know, we made that. That's a rule actually in yatra. If somebody is non-cooperating in yatra, doing something independently, then they will be banned. 3 years, next 3 years they were banned, yeah. Similarly, all devotees are going on Harinam, raising hands, and they make announcement. Prabhus, we are going through Lohi Bazaar, but nobody should go for shopping. See, the announcement is made. 3 times they made announcement. Still, 2 boys, they went inside. And then I asked, hey, you have ears or you are deaf? Yes, Prabhuji, we know it. Prabhuji, 2 fellows, if we go, how is it going to matter? There are 2,000 people here. Two fellows, agar, do log jaane se kya farak padne wala hai? I said, no. When they make an announcement, you have to stick to it. Now you 2 guys go, seeing you, what will happen? Some more will go, some more. It's like once a king told all the citizens, all of you bring milk, you put in a pond. Then what happened? The whole pond was filled with only water only. He asked, why there is no milk? Why? Do you know why it was filled with water? Everybody thought somebody else will bring milk. And they brought water. Ultimately there was only water there. That goes the infinite degree of disobedience to the king. So, we should be very disciplined in this. Water policy is made by the Yatra committee, we follow it, you see. But this demonic mentality is there, doing something independently on one's own. Mano ratena sadidhavato bahir, he says. So many lessons we learn from these pastimes for our practical life, you see. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Rav Bhakta Vrinda ki
jai.
Thank you very much. Taking poison? Yeah. That signifies in our life that when the when we are performing the churning of the milk, washing the chickens, we are having a competition between the divine and demonic qualities. At that time Guru comes in our life and he gives diksha and he takes away our halahal, which is the karmic reactions that you accumulated in past many lives. And after he takes that, then we further endeavor, then we get the amrita. Krishna praying. That's the significance. Because Shiva is considered also a great guru. He is a guru of the Prachetas. So he takes away all the halal. Yeah.